Hello, this is Reverend Charles Sugden, and I am relating a sermon which I preached this morning in church on the 2nd of March. The reason I'm not giving this sermon in church right now is because, having arrived at the pulpit and switched on this voice recorder, it declared battery low. So I thought it needed a holiday and a bit of a boost. And since I've just come back from my holiday and now the battery is boosted, I am speaking from my study, and I hope that you enjoy this sermon, which is as best as I can recall, much as I gave it this morning. So I'm addressing the origins of sin within the title of a series called The Thorn in the Flesh. And I'm going to pray with you now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that as the dew falls on the ground, you nourish that ground. And as your word falls upon our hearts, you promise it will not go unfulfilled, but you will fulfill its purpose. So may you do that for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on Ash Wednesday, in a few days' time, I'll be giving some background to the thinking behind this whole series. But for now, I'm going to plunge in to the origins of sin. Did Adam and Eve, walking in the garden, pick up a splinter or two, wash themselves off, and carry on? Or did the nature of humanity change in Genesis 3? Has humanity always been basically good, with one or two minor blips? Or is our natural state as human beings one of deep depravity? If the former, then God is on our side whatever we decide, however we believe and behave or speak or think. We have nothing to be saved from. If the latter, then we are far away from God when we rely on our own insight in this world. We are in desperate need of a saviour, for otherwise we perish. So the origins of sin are really important, aren't they? See how those two scenarios contrast. What I'm going to aim to do in the next 10 minutes is to establish that case for us being in desperate need of a saviour. And then to empathise, actually, with those who wish to view the world as a good place, and there being so much to celebrate and give thanks for. And then to see how Jesus illustrates the issue of origins of sin in the passage that was read as a gospel reading today, which was John 10, verses 7 to 15. And I should add that the Old Testament reading was Psalm 51. It'd be good if you want to pause this podcast and read those now. So I'll resume with establishing the case for us being in desperate need of a saviour. As we read John 10 and verse 7, Jesus says, "I am the gate of the sheep." I beg your pardon. I've flipped my pages and I'm going to return to establishing that case with a different text. And I'm going back to Genesis 3. Where Adam and Eve deliberately chose to disobey God and instead to listen to the false claims of the evil one. So, ever since then, humanity has been going astray. We have turned everyone to his or her own way. And sin is not only universal in the human race, it is also, once having entered, a bit like a magnet. Either it continues to collect other parts of us and other people around us, or it responds to the opposite pole that Jesus presents and causes us to come to him in admission of our need. Sin is at conception, according to our psalm, verse 5. In sin did my mother conceive me. It's difficult to see that in a tiny baby. that as part of humanity, that baby should be subject to original sin. But if the fall of humanity has indeed taken place generations back, then we are all actually of a human nature that is sinful. I do find it difficult, and I sympathise when people want to point out all the good that there is in the world. In the organising of the 2014 Glasgow Commonwealth Games, there was an interview last summer, a year before the event, on the BBC, in which the organiser was making the claim that most people are good, and that the games are a way for people to let that come out in so many ways. It's a lovely thought that there should be so much good to celebrate. And yet in the back of our minds, is there not also the fear that there may be violence that erupts, or cheating that takes place, or some other disruption? This community of St John's Loxheath is in many ways demonstrating a great friendliness and a protectiveness, especially to the vulnerable and weak. And we have much to be thankful for in so many ways in this community. We like, as a church, to present ourselves as clean, honest, hard-working, worthy people. And indeed, is it not right to look for the good in each other, to see ourselves made in the image of God? Yes, I say to all of those things. Yet with whose eyes do we see ourselves and others? Are they through God's eyes, or through our own eyes, with our own relative values and an immense amount of ignorance? Whereas God's light is in his word, he says, "Your ways are not my ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts." So how does Jesus illustrate this issue? And I come now to John 10 and verse 7. He says, "I am the gate of the sheep." And again in verse 9, "Whoever enters by me will be saved." Let's take that picture of a shepherd lying across the gap in the enclosure. What is outside the enclosure? Danger. Wolves and thieves and bandits, those who come only to steal and kill and destroy. The shepherd in his human person is lying across the gap, and it is through him that the sheep find safety. I believe this is a good description again of being rescued from sin. Ultimately, sin brings death, but Jesus, by contrast, is able to save us from death and give us life. "I came that they," you and me, "may have life and have it abundantly." And so to our response. I return to the magnet metaphor for a moment. We have the choice of recognising where we are turned in on ourselves in self-satisfaction, and where we are in deadly peril. And when we realise our true state, we can turn and be saved. Significant, is it not, that our two readings should be linked, Psalm 51 and John 10, with the theme of sheep? How is that, you say? Well, just above the text of the psalm are these words. When the prophet Nathan came to David after he had gone in to Bathsheba. And so we read in 2 Samuel 12 that Nathan asks David, "Why, when you had any number of your own sheep, did you take the pet lamb that was all that belonged to another man?" And David cries out in the psalm, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." And later, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So how does the Lord look upon us? We might expect with loathing. And yet, Like a great powerful magnet, he embraces us and offers his body to draw out our sin upon himself. Not only is he the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, but he becomes the lamb that is led to the slaughter, that before his shearers remains dumb. The lamb that many look upon with horror, because his hands and feet and side are pierced. The same marred and defaced, broken and humiliated lamb is the lamb who sits upon the throne. He who has conquered death and offers us now the choice of choosing life if we acknowledge our deep sin. A prayer. O Lord, forgive the times when I've minimised my sinfulness, as it's ugly to me, and even more ugly when known to others. Forgive me too when I've minimised the lengths you have travelled to be my good shepherd, my rescuer, my saviour, my sacrifice. In acknowledging my desperate need of you, dear Lord God, I fall down before you. I cast myself on your mercy. I ask that you change me from deep within, even as you declare me righteous in your sight. Renew your Holy Spirit within me, so that more and more I may walk in your strength, in your wisdom, and in your light. Amen. May God bless you all. Thank you for listening.